Today, I would like to teach you the two advices from the Lord Buddha. The Lord Buddha say in a Satipatthana Samyutta, he said, "O monks, O bhikkhus, purify the very starting point of wholesomeness. What is that? The virtue that is purified, well purified, and the view that is strict." So these two advices. The first one, the virtue that is purified. As we know, before we start our meditation, we observe sila. We observe morality, sila. Why should we observe morality or sila? Buddha advised us to purify the virtue first. Because we want to protect ourselves. We observe morality with the understanding of the law of karma. When you throw a ball, when you throw a ball to the wall, the ball rebounds. This is the law of karma. When you throw harder, it rebounds harder. When you throw lightly, it rebounds lightly. This is the law of karma. So, we observe, let's say, five precepts. First one, abstaining from killing any beings with the understanding of the law of karma. If a person kills any beings, the ball rebounds to him. So this person will be killed because of his killing, then as a result, the ball rebounds, then he will be killed. So also, the second one, abstaining from stealing. If any person steal other people's property, then his property will be stolen. And number three, abstaining from sexual misconduct. Same, if you commit any sexual misconduct, then as a result, you will be punished, either in this life or in next life. And number four, telling lies. As you throw the ball of telling lies, the ball rebounds to you. And the fifth, taking intoxicants. Make your mind intoxicated that you commit killing, stealing, sexual misconduct and telling lies. So first, to protect ourselves, we abstain from all unwholesome verbal karma and physical karma. This is the first reason why we must observe precept of morality in order to protect ourselves. Secondly, out of compassion for other beings. Out of compassion for other beings. Because we don't want our life to be killed. We do not want our property to be stolen. And we don't want our daughter or our wife or our husband have any sexual abuse by others. We don't want all of this happen to us. So also other beings also don't want such thing happen to them. So out of compassion for other beings, we extend all unwholesome verbal actions, verbal karma and physical karma. So this is the first advice given by the Lord Buddha. And the second advice, purify your view. Make your view strict. And this is very, very important when you practice Vipassana meditation. I know most of you emphasize Vipassana meditation because most of you are lay person. So Vipassana meditation is very helpful in your daily life, not concentration. Okay. Make your view strict. How? Let me explain the view that is not strict first. The most dangerous view for Vipassana, or the view which obstructs or hinders your progress in the Vipassana, is personality view. We call Sakkaya Dikhi in Pali word. Sakkaya is a compound word. Sakkaya, two words. Kaya means mind and body. Kaya means mentality and materiality. Rupa kaya, nama kaya. So rupa kaya is materiality and nama kaya is mentality. Sa is exist. So sakkaya means what actually exists is only mind and body, or mentality and materiality. It's called sakkaya. But sakkaya deity, you add one more deity, deity is wrong view. So wrong view, think that what is actually exists is I, a person, a being, a human, a deva, a dog, an animal. So become sakkaya deity. Sakkaya itself is what actually exists is only mind and body. But plus the deity, then deity misperceive, misbelieve that what actually exists is a person, a being, a Brahma, a Deva, and so on. And because of this view, that you cannot penetrate into the ultimate realities. So to practice Vipassana, you got to make this view strict first. Remove this Sakkaya Dikhi. How to remove? Okay. They say, for ordinary person, we always identify our emotions, for example, happiness, our sorrow, our jealousy, our pleasant feeling or unpleasant feeling. We always identify all these emotions as I. I am angry, I am happy, I'm worried, I'm sorrowful, and so on. I'm jealous, and so on. But all this jealousy, sorrowful, happiness, sufferings, all these are mental states only. Only mental states, which lie latent in your mental stream. When a cause for it to arise is not present, it will not arise. Only when the causes for it to arise, it will arise. So when it arises, If you identify it, for example, your worry, you identify your anxiety, you identify it as I, as mine, worry as I as worry, or I am worry, or I exist in the worry, or worry exists in mine. If you identify it like that, you will suffer even more. You suffer even more, and you will never see it pass away. Because you cling to it very strongly, it is I, it is mine. How can it disappear? Because of your clinging to it so tightly and so strongly, it will never disappear. And you suffer even more. So this is not a way of vipassana. Most people practice vipassana for many, many years. They're not suffering, happiness. But they still think happiness is I, suffering is mine. So how can he make progress? Even me, practice vipassana for many years. And from the very beginning, I do not recognize this one. I do not understand. So I practice very, very hard. I sleep only 4 hours a day. Continuously for 3 years. Intensively, never look up, only look down. Until after that, my body collapsed. So I practiced very, very hard. But I cling to my virya, my effort as I, myself. I practiced so hard, you know. Even my teacher looked up, get up his head to me. And yet, I do not make any progress. Why? Because I feel so proud of my effort. And I identify this effort as I, mine. I'm trying hard. Effort as I, I'm the effort. This is called sakkayaditthi. Wrong personality view. Personality view. And this is the main defilement that blocks us to attain path and fruition. And to block us for further progress. So after 6 years, you know, I practiced so diligently and without making any progress, I surrender, give up. I change another method. After changing another method, I still not making progress. What's wrong with me? You know, until many, many years, I realized, oh, because I identify everything as I, as my, as myself. The moment you identify everything as I, my, myself, your clinging grows stronger and stronger. And the path of purification, this path, the Buddha's path, is to free ourselves from clinging. It's not to strengthen our clinging. So I'm working the opposite way. How can I make progress? So also, those who practice vipassana for many years and not yet make any further progress, the main problem is this wrong identification. And although I may tell you 100 times, you still cling to it. When the sorrowful comes, you still think, I'm sorrowful. Although I tell you repeatedly. Why? Because this defilement is so deep rooted in our mental stream. So deep rooted. So it takes long time to erase it. But if you can bear it in mind, that's very, very helpful for you. Not to say attain the noble path, but to free yourself from this very moment when it arises. For example, anger arises. If you can contemplate it as impermanent, non-self. Why non-self? It's only cause and effect. Certain things cause the anger to arise. When the cause disappears, effect disappears. So it's non-self. If it is self, it will never disappear. You know, like you think yourself is still there, it never disappears. But if you think as cause and effect, then you understand non-self as well. So you must always contemplate it as impermanence, as cause and effect, as non-self. So if you can contemplate like that at that very moment when the reformers arise or any emotion arise, at that very moment you free yourself from suffering. So we liberate ourselves. We free ourselves from suffering is from moment to moment, not only intensive retreat. You go, you think, oh, okay, one year I was trying the noble path. But other time when emotion comes, you never contemplate. It doesn't work. The path is, that's why Buddha say, gradual training. Gradually, it's not, not one hit, you hit the arrow, you hit the bird, not like that. It's gradual training. So you've got to train yourself in such a way. Whatever emotions comes, you must understand first. Buddha say, sabbe sankhara anicca. All formations are impermanent. That you got to accept it first. Even you do not accept, your life will reveal it, will reveal to you everything is impermanent. Okay. Then secondly, you must investigate the cause and effect. This is very important. I think most people do not investigate cause and effect. So when sorrow comes, okay, ask yourself why it comes. It comes from where? You investigate the cause. And when you find out the cause, you solve the cause, the effect disappears. When you clear the cause, the effect disappears. That's why the teaching of the Buddha, Buddha said the first noble truth, suffering. The five aggregates is suffering. Birth is suffering, aging suffering, death suffering. Five aggregates of clinging are suffering. Then Buddha said, why? What caused this suffering? Craving. So craving caused this suffering. If you do not kill the craving, you think, okay, suffering. Birth is suffering. So I must kill this birth. So I commit suicide. So you try to kill the effect. And when you commit suicide, you reappear in the hell. In the hell. Or in the animal kingdom. So it doesn't work like that. No? Suffering is there. Okay, we recognize it. Suffering is there. We find out the cause. The cause for suffering is craving. Buddha said many times repeatedly in the 45 years of his missionary. All craving causes suffering. So if you want to kill, you want to cure yourself from the suffering, you kill your craving. Your craving for the beautiful visible object, your craving for the pleasant sound, your craving for the pleasant smell, your craving for the pleasant taste, and your craving for the pleasant touch, and your craving for the pleasant mental object. And lastly, your craving for life. For life. So every time when somebody performs good, wholesome dana, they pray, next time I want to be reborn this, I want to reborn that. It's called craving for life. You pray for life, and Buddha said any life is suffering. But why you still pray for it? Because you have not yet uprooted the craving yet. Although you know it's suffering, but still think there's some happiness also. So you still crave for it. So as a Vipassana meditator, first you understand all information, all formations are impermanent. Secondly, everything except Nibbana, everything is the product of the cause. Everything is a product of the causes. So, curing the causes, effect disappear. And when you understand cause and effect, you also understand non-self nature. Non-self nature is not easy to understand. Only by understanding cause and effect, you understand non-self nature. What is this self? They think self is like something control something. No, something control something is called self, permanent one. How can you find permanent thing in the world? No, So you understand cause and effect, you understand non-self nature. Everything arises, pass away, dependent on causes and conditions. So if you can investigate like that and bear it in mind and put it into practice, I guarantee you, within a year, you will make very fast progress. Not only fast progress, you will be more happy than other people. Why? Why? Why you become more happy than others? Because you do not cling anymore. Whatever arises, you let go. Impermanent, how to cling? Whatever arises, it passes away. How to cling to something which is arising and passing away? You cannot cling to it. So when you really experience this arising and passing away, automatically, even you want to cling to it, your mind cannot cling to it. Because you already experience it, arising and passing away, arising and passing away. The mind automatically let go of it. That letting go is happiness. Not letting go the body, you know. Not letting go the food. Because of food, my craving arise, so I don't want to eat. Not like that. Letting go the attachment to the food. You can still eat, but without craving, without much attachment. Arahant also eat. Buddha also eat, but they don't have craving, you know. So you still can live as a daily, as day person, but without much craving to your son, to your property, to your money, to your reputation, to your name, to your business. When you have no craving, there is happiness. You can experience yourself. So, in the Vipassana practice, whatever arises, contemplate it as impermanent, cause and effect, non-self. Even though you may not really see it yet, you may not really see it fast arising and passing away, but such way of tuning your mind, is very, very helpful to correct all your wrong perception in the past. If you still have very strong perception of permanent happiness and I, then if arising and passing away arise or appear in you, because it conflicts with what you perceive, then you also cannot appreciate it. You cannot appreciate and you cannot penetrate into it. So you are struggling. You're struggling with the truth. So before you reach that stage, it's better you purify your view first. Make your view strict first. That's what Buddha instructs us. Oh, bhikkhu, purify the very starting point of wholesomeness. What is that? First, virtue is well purified. Second, view that is strict. This is what view that is strict. And Buddha said, purify in at very starting point, not behind, not after. Very starting point, before you come to practice, you bear in mind, purify this one, make it strict first. Then your Vipassana path will become very easy. And I share with you after how many years of my suffering? I suffered almost 10 years. Only then I realized this. And now I give you freely.
We have a very good karma.
All right. If you can apply to it, if you can put it into practice, you will be more grateful to me. Okay. So, somebody may ask, if I cannot see, I only contemplate it as conceptual. It's concept only. Impermanent, but I do not see my pleasant feeling disappear. Or I do not see the pain disappear, although I contemplate impermanent. No problem, never mind. Tune your mind first, as I say, tune your mind first. If you do not contemplate in such a way, instead you contemplate pain, okay, What is the effect? Your consciousness, unconsciously, you are clinging to the pain as my, although you do not speak up. You do not speak up. But your consciousness, you know, will cling to it. My, why not disappear? Why not disappear? my. Such a way of contemplation is not what Buddha wants. Huh? Buddha say, the view which is strict. So if you should not contemplate, you should not note pain, and you know. I note this for 6 years. So I note, it doesn't work. Such a way of noting doesn't work. Even without noting, I know it's painful. Why should I note as pain? Okay, you tell me why should you note as pain? Don't you know it's painful?
Yeah.
Yes. Then why should you note as pain? To remind you it's pain? It's painful? You know what I mean or not? Do you know what I mean?
No.
You know it's painful.
What is following your pain, your awareness?
But in the beginning, I think most people note. I think because we interview somebody tell me, nothing, pain. I also know for 6 years, so I know it doesn't work. Huh? Nothing doesn't work.
Yeah, but
just aware is okay. Just aware. Huh? So in the Vipassana practice, the two things you must bear in mind. Today I give you very precious advice, which I myself practiced for many years. Then finally I realized. Huh? The two things are very important. First, mindfulness. Mindfulness is very, very important in whatever occasion. Huh? So Buddha said mindfulness is like salt. If you cook a dish, it's very delicious without putting salt. No. No, it's not okay. So mindfulness is useful in whatever occasion. So when the pain arises, you know. No, just know, simply aware. No need to note pain. No, not necessary. I know I'm painful. You know, I don't have to note to remind me I'm painful. Not necessary, okay? Secondly, wisdom must understand it is cause and effect. Huh? Maybe pain you don't think. You sit long, of course pain comes. It's a cause and effect. Before, when you start pain, there's no pain. When you start sitting, there's no pain. Only after long pain comes. So it's a cause and effect only. You know? So you understand it's cause and effect. Wisdom understand it's cause and effect. And whatever produced by causes cannot be permanent. Buddha say repeatedly, Sabbe sankhara anicca. All formation. What is formation? Formation means produce phenomena produced by cause. It's called formation. So Buddha say whatever formation is impermanent. And this pain also formation because it's produced by cause. So wisdom must understand this one. Wisdom understand it's impermanent, it's cause and effect. So when whatever cause and effect are changing all the time, and whatever cause and effect is not self, it's not I, not belong to me, not possessed by me. No, how can I possess cause and effect? No. Cause arise, effect arise. Cause disappear, effect disappear. I cannot control it. You can control changing posture. You can control, but later on another pain comes. So you keep on changing posture. No, it doesn't work. Okay. So wisdom. So there's two things, very important in Vipassana practice. First, mindfulness. If let's say a pain arises in you, you don't have mindfulness. You do not know that. Then the pain disappears. Also, you will not know. You know, when it arises, you do not know. When it disappears, also you do not know. So what are you doing? If in meditation you do not know what is happening, then you are not doing well in your meditation. So mindfulness first must aware. Aware whatever arise. Whatever phenomena arise in your body and mind. Then secondly, wisdom, no, it is impermanent, it's only cause and effect and is non-self. If you can remember this too and always put in your practice, I guarantee you, you are making progress. Okay, any question? The good dishes, eat little bit enough. No need to eat so much. When you eat too much, you feel disgusted. So this good Dhamma, half an hour enough. Okay, any question?
So if you see a phenomenon, but you are not sure about the cause, then
you try to find out. Try to find out the cause. If you cannot find out the cause at this moment, never mind. Leave it. Contemplate as impermanent. If you can find out, cure the cause. There was a story in Jataka story. Jataka, you know? Jataka story. Vesantara, Prince Vesantara. After our Bodhisattva, Buddha to be, his second last human life. After Vesantara, he became Dewa in Tushita. After Tushita, he became Prince Siddhartha. So it's Vesantara. This is his last life that he should perform perfect his generosity parami, dana parami. It's his last life that he had to fulfill to perfect his dana parami. So he gave away his son and daughter. Give away his kingdom, all his property. He was a prince. So he gave away his kingdom, his property, and brought his wife and his two, one son and one daughter, went to forest. And one day, there was an old Brahmin came to ask his son and daughter. And as a Bodhisattva, you cannot say no. Whoever comes and ask something for you, you have to give. If you want to perfect your Dana Parami to become Buddha, you have to give. You cannot say, no, I love your son, I cannot give you. Then you will never become Buddha. Okay? So he gave away his son and daughter. And this old Brahmin is very cruel. He beat his son and daughter in front of him until the blood flow out. So his son and daughter screamed that, oh my dad, you know, didn't you see I was suffering? Then Vesantara was very, very painful. His heart is so painful, he cannot breathe in through his nose. He got to breathe in through his mouth. Very painful. Then he want to take out his sword to kill this Brahmin. But he asked himself, he investigate. This sorrow. Why sorrow? Why sorrow arise in me? Why I feel so sorrowful? He investigate. Then finally he find out the cause. Oh, because of my attachment to my son and daughter, I feel so sorrowful. So the moment he find out his cause, he let go of that attachment. Then he becomes equanimous. So when you find out the cause, effect is a people. Cure the cause, don't cure the effect. Don't cure your sorrowful. How to cure your sorrowful? Okay, any other question? Let me talk a little bit more. Why today I teach you Anapanasati? Because concentration is very helpful to penetrate things as they really are. If you start sitting and try to contemplate impermanent, it's very difficult unless you have concentrated mind. So in our daily life, it's better to sit early in the morning, do some concentration practice. Sit at least half an hour for concentration, anapanasati, or loving kindness meditation. Only then you go to vipassana. And in the vipassana, in daily life, because a lot of challenge, people, when you in your working environment, a lot of challenge. Somebody jealous you, or somebody abuse you. So when this abusive word comes to your ear, unpleasant feeling arises. This is the time you should practice vipassana. Don't only say, wait, let me sit down and practice. too late. At that very moment, you should start vipassana really. So when the five sense object, the sixth sense object contact the sixth sense door, one type of feeling should arise. According to dependent origination, one type of feeling either is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. So you just have to contemplate at this very moment. For example, pleasant feeling arises if you forget to contemplate, because mindfulness is so slow. You forget to contemplate, so pleasant feeling become, normal reaction, people will cling to pleasant feeling because it's so pleasant. Then our attachment will arise. This automatic reaction, reaction. So you forget to contemplate unpleasant feeling, then craving arises. Never mind. Contemplate craving as impermanent. This is called citta nupasana. Contemplation of mind. We have four foundations of contemplation. Anapana is kaya nupasana, contemplation of body. Then whatever pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, or neutral feeling arises in you, you contemplate it. Then this is called vedana nupasana, contemplation on feeling. Then feeling, unpleasant feeling become aversion, become hatred. Then you contemplate hatred as impermanent, suffering, non-self. This is called citta nupasana, contemplation on mind. And whatever sixth sense object impinge your sixth sense organs or sixth sensitivity, at that moment, if you contemplate, that is called Dhamma Nupassana, contemplation on Dhamma. So all included. All foundation of mindfulness are included. And this you can practice in your daily life, no problem. Sometimes sitting quietly, no emotion, very difficult to contemplate. So in your daily life, a lot of challenge. So it's very easy to practice in your daily life. Because so quiet, mind so quiet, no anger, no hatred, how to contemplate impermanent? Cannot, no chance. But you still can contemplate whatever arises, for example, sensation in the body arises, contemplate it. Or when the pain arises, the mind does not like it. At that time you should look at your pain rather than the pain. When the pain arises, your mind gets irritated. At that time, don't look at the pain. Look at the mind. Look at this irritation. It's more powerful rather than looking at the pain. Looking at mind is more powerful.
The question is, when we practice concentration, is that when the pain comes up? Whether we should contemplate the pain or we should come back to our home object?
Okay, it depends on what you want. If you want to practice pure samatha, pure concentration without mixing with vipassana, you ignore the pain. Neglect, ignore the pain. But if you want to mix concentration and vipassana, then you leave behind this one, contemplate on the pain. But pain is not easy to disappear. Emotion is easy. Emotion, anger is easy to, pain is more difficult to look. But it can, if you contemplate on the pain, the mind will not wander off. This is one of the good by contemplating the pain. Because so painful, the mind cannot go out. Sometimes it's also useful if your mind is so restless, contemplate on pain. So depend on what you want. Either way will. Okay? No more questions? Okay. We stop here.